Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review SmackDown, but also Monday Night Raw, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, or bloody premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a mega quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamflett to look ahead to SmackDown tonight, the first SmackDown of the year. New year, same old SmackDown, barely anything advertised. They are just front-loading the show with Roman Reigns is medically cleared, and Brock Lesnar's going to show up. Now he's WWE champion. And to be fair, yeah, as much as I don't like it, that's a really good sell for someone like me.
Yeah, it's something, isn't it? I feel like we should offer a bit of a disclaimer at the start of this podcast. We do our best on these previews to analyse the ongoing storylines. We use things that have happened in the weeks prior to inform things that might happen in the weeks ahead. This one's going to be a lot of different ways of saying, what's next? What's the year ahead going to look like? What could possibly be in store for? They're not giving us things other than the big thing. They used a well-regarded and well-rated Monday Night Raw to drop a hook for tonight's SmackDown. Not the hook, sadly, he's on the other side, but drop a pretty big hook in the size of Brock Lesnar. The day one, we alluded to this, if you listen to our Raw review, or like you dare not brave it because it's the longest one of the week, go back and give this a go, because I think we kind of covered off quite a lot of SmackDown-related stuff in the form of Brock Lesnar and his future and all that sort of stuff going on. The make good, as is typical in WWE, was arguably better than the original. Brock Lesnar being inserted into the Fatal 5-Way kind of zapped a bit of life into that title picture, into that scene. It's developed a bit of a dream match with Bobby Lashley. And in the meantime, it's created a bunch of new questions for the Roman Reigns program. Whatever was going to happen, potentially at day one with Paul Heyman, has either been put on pause or been scrapped entirely as he gets back figuratively into bed with Brock Lesnar for this union that they had on Monday Night Raw. But how stable is that? And indeed, how stable will Roman Reigns be now that he's without Paul Heyman, but still with the Brock Lesnar problem? The belt for belt stuff is interesting because Brock isn't coming at Roman necessarily to dethrone him now. He's coming at him for fun, isn't he? He had a wry smile at the end of Raw. He had a title slung over his shoulder. He doesn't need any more to dethrone Roman from being the head of the table on SmackDown. He seemingly just wants to wreck him. He just wants to ruin his life, or he wants to rattle his cage a little bit. So the narrative has shifted slightly, but in a way that actually might possibly be a little bit more unpredictable than where we were at 7 days ago.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be talking more about some of the day one fallout in due course. But it is astonishing the way things sometimes falls into WWE's lap. The day prior, Michael Hamflett, to my beloved Chesterfield, my football team, playing a Premier League team at their ground for the first time in 25 years. It's akin to them turning around and saying, right, bad news, guys. One of our attacking midfielders has unfortunately got COVID. But good news, the FA have given a special dispensation to sign Cristiano Ronaldo on a one match signing fee. It's just like, it's a complete blessing, because I think the thing is, we were all there going, okay, we all know that we're eventually heading towards Lesnar and Reigns at WrestleMania, and that is going to absolutely bang. Just look at the expectation and the excitement around their bloody Saudi match. How often can you say something like that? But we were also like, yeah, they kind of got to get through having a match at day one and shenanigans around that. And then you've still got a few months till Mania. And this, not that you would obviously wish COVID on anyone, has just sort of meant, oh, yeah, this is a really easy way of keeping them separate. The fans are still kept happy. I thought that main event was sensational at day one. I've gone back and watched it on numerous occasions already. And like you say, now you've still got all the intrigue of whose side is Paul Heyman actually on, but they're on separate shows in terms of title stuff for the time being. We can all probably guess where they're going when it comes to the Royal Rumble and possible shenanigans between the two of them. But like you say, for now, it's just two champions, one of which loves to get under the skin and very easily does get under the skin of the other one because of their shared history.
Yeah, it's what WWE are in the position of now. By the way, I just want to say, I'm really glad that you brought Chesterfield into this podcast because there's only one blue brand that are behind this weekend. It's the Mighty Spireites. Come on, Chesterfield. Come on. Like, put Chelsea in the goddamn mud and I might get around to watching SmackDown if I get the chance. You were kind about it there, but like WWE get a lot of dumb luck, don't they? That's what goes on. Like they get a lot of dumb luck, but they can often make more with the dumb luck than Vince McMahon's dumb creative vision. So we find ourselves in a situation where there's multiple permutations. One I particularly like currently is that, yes, Paul Heyman is a snake and has spied an opportunity to get back in league with Brock Lesnar. Kind of like the path of least resistance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's very convenient that Brock was free, inserted into a title match right after Paul Heyman had been booted from the bloodline and was kind of a man without an island. But as has been the case with all of the details with Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns and Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, WWE have thought just enough to make everything tie together. Brock Lesnar, for all that he knows who Paul Heyman is and has probably enjoyed toying with, like he was kind of a cat with a mouse with Heyman, wasn't he?
Yeah.
When Heyman was still with Brock. What he does acknowledge is that Paul Heyman was the one that got him the free agency, which allows Brock to move around and win WWE titles in the first place. So Heyman isn't completely just a rat. He has actually given Brock a reason, maybe not to trust him, but to stick with him. You know, he thought, well, Heyman's little claws worked for me, so I'll stick around with him a little bit longer. Is that going to be something that, for storyline purposes, WWE will take away tonight? Will Brock and Roman get into such a violent pull apart that Postman Pierce will tear up that contract in front of Paul Heyman's face and again force Paul Heyman back into that situation of Brock thinking, well, I don't really need you anymore. That was kind of what you were good for. And I've just lost that. I've got to go back to Raw now. I can't get to Roman. And then Paul Heyman thinking, well, if they can't get to each other, maybe I can try and tickle the balls of both. You know, like there's just, I think there's like, it seems to me that if they are, like, I wish they were doing Brock and Lashley at the Royal Rumble, a WrestleMania match suddenly appeared in their lap in the form of Brock and Lashley, but we're getting at the Rumble, so that's what's happening. It's obviously Roman and Brock at WrestleMania, unless otherwise stated. So I do wonder if tonight will be the night that Brock will be forced onto Raw and Raw only for another month. I wonder if something will happen tonight so catastrophic that WWE's board of directors or Pearson, DeVille themselves or whomever will have no choice but to make the call. Maybe Vince McMahon himself can do it on Monday night.
You can't keep doing it, Brock. You can't keep doing it.
And he's like, what? Do it again?
You can't keep doing it, Brock. You've got to stay on Raw.
I eat my meat raw? Yeah, I've done that for years, Vince. You know that about me. I punch it in a butcher's to train.
You've got to stay on Raw. You're going to go on Raw.
Is that right? Okay. Like maybe somebody with power steps in, forces the kind of divide between them that little bit longer. You eventually get the belt off Brock and then you get back on the road to WrestleMania for the Universal title.
Yeah, I don't like my, well, anyone's really looks that stupid, but particularly someone like Roman Reigns. But I would love the idea. Obviously, fantastic news, by the way, that Reigns is medically cleared to return. I think we all got very concerned. This isn't, you know, just anybody. You know, no one should want COVID or have COVID. But it's also with someone like Roman and obviously his medical history, terrifying news to read that he tested positive. Fantastic that he's coming back. But in terms of him, I would allow an element of stupidity, like you say, if he gets into something with Brock, that what you suggested there, which I really like, happens, and he sits there with his feet up on SmackDown for a few weeks saying, well, guess that's the Brock Lesnar problem dealt with forever. And the Usos, they're like, yeah, but have you not forgotten what the next paper? Forever, I said, Jimmy and Jay. And then, yeah, probably some shenanigans are going to have to be involved in my booking of taking the title off Brock and putting it on Bobby. Or you can just have Bobby beat him because he's mint. And then, oh, how on earth is he going to get a title match at WrestleMania? Oh, wait, he's on the pay-per-view where if you win the 30-man Battle Royal, you get the title shot. So he probably could be number 30 quite easily.
Dare I suggest to you Brock Lesnar in a chamber? You know, like there's another way that in which he sort of enters the universe. This is all on me. I don't mind taking the blame for this. And maybe it pivots us onto a talking point that we can get to now rather than later. There is one other man who's been in the middle of Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns who isn't Paul Heyman. Can we talk about Sami Zayn? Will he be the guy tonight that will try and broker peace between two giant men that have cruelly battered him on SmackDown when all he's wanted to do is be their associate and be their ally and be their friend? He's been a blast. Maybe he'll be the one to sort of step in the middle of it and saying, why are you two so obsessed with fighting each other when you should be worrying about Sami Zayn taking both your titles?
I really like the idea of him when he eventually, because let's be honest, I genuinely forgot who was Intercontinental Champion. When he becomes IC Champion with this title shot, he's apparently won through some Christmas gauntlet. I don't know, I stopped watching wrestling over Christmas. But I was happy to read about this. Him, maybe at the Rumble, say, in a room, going, oh, all three champions, here we are. Like, now, it's wishful thinking. Let's talk about Sami Zayn, Hanford, because I've written a question down, and I know what I'm asking here. But nevertheless, I'm going to be even more optimistic in 2022. That's my New Year's resolution. Could it be his year? Because like there's all the talk about him leaving and Owens or Steen leaving, of course, a while back. And that's all got a bit quiet now. Obviously, Owens has committed his future to WWE. May Sami Zayn do the same? Who knows? But with the, you know, the shadow of AEW, maybe he can work that to his advantage and actually, you know, negotiate, not necessarily creative control, but certainly better storylines for someone like him, because he's just brilliant. And he's clearly, I think, finally broken through that Vince McMahon, I'm not sure about you thing that so many people have to live with for decades, it seems. So could this be his year? I'm not suggesting he's going to become world champion or anything like that. But I mean, if last year's anything to go by, I really, really hope so.
Typically on these podcasts, the longer one of those optimistic, hopeful, wide-eyed, curly-whirly questions is, the more fun it is to monosyllabically to go, oh, like, the listeners don't get to see it, but you get to see the glee in Minus Cedric's eyes as we yet again get to watch your heart shatter into a million pieces. We shouldn't enjoy it as much as we do, but like, I don't know, there might be some sort of dad-based catharsis going on there. I'm not quite sure. You're a grown up. But I'm not going to do that on this occasion, because maybe, right, and you've qualified that wisely there, because it is perhaps folly to imagine that, like, Sami Zayn is going to go on some world title winning unbeaten streak or, like, just absolutely cut through all of SmackDown as a heel, no less, as this cartoon heel. But I would argue that, and again, you reference this here, in terms of, like, finally having Vince McMahon figure him out, I would argue that 2021 was kind of Sami Zayn's year. Yeah. You know, like, WrestleMania in a singles match against his best mate, like the most unlikely of combinations, getting there with the big, you'll have to remind me which Paul brother it was, Logan.
Logan, Jay, yeah.
Logan, thank you. Like that big celebrity involvement, the follow through stuff. We have still not had, like, I don't know what we're going to get first, the Vladimir fan documentary or Sami Zayn's conspiracy one on the network. I'm refreshing my Peacock icon every day, waiting to see which one comes first. Like 2021 was good for Sami Zayn, and well-earned, and overdue, and all of those things. So I see no reason why 2022 can't be more of the same and better. The Intercontinental title stuff is really interesting, because he was a, if you recall, a tremendous advocate for Shinsuke Nakamura as Intercontinental Champion. They were a great act once upon a time. He used to dance around Nakamura as he entered. Like, he'd bounce all over the screen like you've just thrown a bouncy ball in a glass box. Sami Zayn was just like, you know, one of those DVD screensavers where like you're willing it to like make it to the corner, flush. Sami Zayn would do that as Nakamura sort of walked in a straight line around him. So there's nice intercontinental title lore between the two of them. And there is, of course, and I just hope so much WWE lean on this because it's laughable to suggest they can even approach anything as good as that. I would love it if they showed highlights of the Dallas match. Who can forget Zayn Nakamura 2016? It's like, well, probably all of us because they can't do this again. I mean, maybe if Nakamura took Sami Zayn for a surfing lesson, he'd be as enthusiastic as he was in Dallas that night. But I can't see him doing it in a wrestling match. I expect Zayn to end this, let's be honest, underbooked and largely forgotten about Intercontinental title reign of Sami Zayn, of Shinsuke Nakamura, sooner rather than later. I love the championship committee booking that you've suggested. Hey, lads, big night, eh? Wonder which title the winner might pick. Maybe you guys will take WrestleMania off because they'll come for the real king. Like, I think it's just so much fun to be had. Zayn has become what you arguably want more in WWE now. It is one thing to be a utility player. It is one thing to be a heel utility player who is Teflon to no matter what they throw at him. Sometimes the babyface ones are the ones that are maligned because, yeah, they'll win a few. Yeah, they might get a title shot. Yeah, they might come back from the dead and look like a fish, but then they just go back to losing again. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's the sort of nightmare of becoming a babyface utility player. As a heel one, you can be embarrassed, you can be humiliated, and then you steal a couple and suddenly you've got a lot of momentum and Vince finds your hair funny or whatever it is that he chuckles at when Zayn's out in there. Of all the wrestlers on SmackDown, or indeed in WWE, there are few, assuming that he signs a contract like his mate did, there are few that I imagine will have as smoother a time of it as Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I know it's hopeful and dreaming, but I've just got a good feeling. And you know what usually happens when I have those.
One more thing on this again. Like, if anyone's listening thinking, why do these two still have any hope for anything in WWE? I just want to make it clear what my metric is for Sami Zayn's good year. Just to refresh if we've got any new listeners or anybody's forgot. This is not me going on a podcast in January saying, mark the calendars, WrestleMania night 2, Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns. He wins the big one. What I'm saying is, as we always say, somebody I like is going to have a nice time at work.
And what I'm saying
that's
is...
That's what I was for.
And let's not forget, Jay Cargill just became TBS champion on AEW, my first correct prediction of the year. What I'm saying is, Michael Hamflett, it's a prediction I may have made before. No, it's not a prediction because I never get predictions wrong. It was a suggestion I may have made before. But 2022, Michael Hamflett, Sami Zayn, a.k.a. please, Mr. Money in the Bank.
Great. Wanted it for ages. Wanted it, like, ever since he's been a heel, it's been perfect.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Right, let's talk a little bit about some of the fallout from day one then, Hamflet. Let's stick with the Bloodline. We've talked about them a little bit earlier. Who next for them? It seems like they had a brilliant match yet again, of course, surprise, surprise, with the New Day. But it seems like maybe that might have slightly run its course. What do you reckon?
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? The New Day match in and of itself, all of us collectively previewed it, discussed it, thought about it as, oh, it's that match that's never rubbish. Sure enough, it wasn't rubbish. Did it have any real long-term storyline ramifications? Absolutely not. Like, did the result matter even if the New Day had become tag team champions? No, none of it would have mattered. Like, this was a match just to have a good match because it was a safe bet. But it does speak to a slight problem that has occurred with the Usos for a little while now that we've acknowledged, was that the lazier WWE got with the Bloodline's internal strife, when they pretty much just dropped it cold, the less interesting the Usos became as an act. They were goons, they were running buddies, and they just happened to be tag team champions. So, Wilborn, I pitch it to you. If first time ever, new 2022, new us, can we do the SmackDown game, but with two wrestlers
Ooh.
That we're going to randomly pair to be surprise number one contenders to the Usos?
See, I was thinking you were going to suggest something like Ridge Bloody Holland and Sheamus, even though that'd be a heel versus heel dynamic, but no one really boos the Usos unless they slag off their local town. So, yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. Okay. Right, ready when you are. The usual game, what we do is I've loaded up the WWE.com/superstars page for SmackDown. And you'll tell me to stop. You'll pick a number between 1 and 4. And then that'll be the first member of the tag team.
There we go.
And we'll go from there. Okay, ready when you are.
Stop.
Okay, number between 1 and 4.
1.
I'll take the one above because number one is Jimmy Uso. So.
I swear.
Happy Corbin.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
I don't. And, like, of course, his new tag team partner. Say when.
When.
Okay, and a number between 1 and 4, please.
2.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Honestly, I can't tell you how much I was willing you to say the number 2 there. Like, I was Yuri Gellering it through the screen because...
I want to point out that we're doing this over Skype today, so I definitely can't see your monitor either. No. This is not a... Yeah, just for the people listening, this is not a work or anything.
Your new... Go on, then, who we got? Your new SmackDown. Number 1 contenders. Challenging the Usos going forward. Happy Corbin and his running partner Shanky.
Get in.
I want Shanky to tell jokes. I want Shanky to steal Madcap Moss's gimmick and tell some jokes.
I know we've put each other on the spot sometimes. What would be the alliterative name? Because obviously you had Madcap Moss straight away, didn't you? So what,
like, silly Shanky.
That's it. Shanky and Corbs, the new tag team champions of the sea. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh,
did you imagine that Shanky and Corbs would be the answer to your bullet point? What next for the Usos when we started recording?
And that's the beauty of this podcast. You never know.
We got there.
It is, this podcast really is the land of opportunity. Speaking of Madcap Moss, actually, shout out to him. He's going to sound incredibly patronising, I realise, as I say it. Shout out to him. Didn't he do well at day one? I really enjoyed that match with Drew McIntyre in terms of, I know it was a glorified TV match. It was on a pay-per-view, and I hadn't watched wrestling for 2 weeks, so I was just ready for just about anything. But you can see Madcap Moss is definitely one for the future when he gets rid of the whole Madcap bit and Corbin, probably. But, I mean, you look at him, he's obviously a Vince McMahon specimen. But I was pleasantly surprised by it all. Obviously, right decision with the match result, etc. You sensed, post-match, that this wasn't over between McIntyre and Corbin in terms of them potentially having a match. And then WWE, to be fair to them, made a very smart decision, injured Drew McIntyre and took him out of the picture for the Rumble and for the foreseeable future because, yeah, you can't really have Drew in the Rumble and him, he's not going to not win it. So, yeah, what do you reckon to all that?
Well, I'm glad you did get a lot of enjoyment out of McIntyre and Moss because it could be the last McIntyre match for a while, couldn't it?
Yeah.
We weren't working. It was a public holiday in the UK on the Monday. And that was when the story broke. So I caught wind of it, but then it kind of disappeared under the news churn. And obviously there's been plenty of that this week. The reports came out that that Drew was dealing with a real neck injury. And the injury angle was put in place to legitimately write him off television. I didn't see follow-up stories on that, and I assume there'll be something on that on SmackDown tonight. Hmm. I had a cursory look before we started recording, but I it was only quick and I couldn't see much. But I would assume that it's not work, he's obviously hurt, but if he could come back sooner than maybe WWE will tell us, maybe he becomes a surprise entrant in the Rumble. And you know, he makes it to the final four or the final two. Or so. I can't see Drew. This doesn't feel like his year, but like he makes it to the very end as a surprise comeback with his injury. And then when he's eliminated, he says, "Well, now I am back." Corbin and Moss, you're absolutely because you like did what you did to me at day one. What it's done temporarily, assuming that McIntyre is off television, and it's a bit of a swine because obviously Happy Corbin's going to be spread pretty thin with his tag title run. Is that it's put a bit of heat on these two clowns, hasn't it? Mm. Like they were very much, and we always worried aloud that this was going to happen. It was one thing when they were a mid-card concern with Madcap Moss's terrible wordplay masquerading as jokes, but because it's Corbin, we always knew that eventually this would actually manifest into something meaningful. They love him. It doesn't matter if he's, when he had his long greasy hair and his awesome entrance music and his face belly, or when he was a constable, or when he was dressed as a waiter, or like any portion of the King of the Ring run, he had the Forgotten Sons with him for a bit. Whatever happens, it starts off really trivial. And then Vince is like, man, he's tall though, isn't he? Should we actually give him something to do? Like, I think with every haircut or every shirt change or whatever, Vince forgets it was the same guy from the last time. So that's why the pattern keeps repeating. And I would suggest that, like, I don't think the jokes will stop ever. I think Madcap Moss is a WWE writer's dream. It's probably the one thing that doesn't get red ink on it on a Friday morning, quite honestly. Like, the terrible lines they come up with is probably the only thing that get, well, yeah, that's perfect. Leave that. Let's get on to ruining whatever it was he suggested for Roman Reigns because you have nailed Madcap Moss. Like, what started as that has now been afforded a pretty big injury angle and probably a few weeks of Corbin saying he's going to win the Royal Rumble and the babyface, TBC, Nakamura, maybe as a way to soften
it. Cesaro or something.
Cesaro and Ricochet have just bounced out of that nothing match with Bloody Holland and Sheamus. Someone like that as a sort of a big win for these couple of tits. You know, like something that's actually going to keep them heated for the Rumble. It's ludicrous. Nobody believes it. Nobody buys it. Nobody laughs. Like, I don't want to be horrible at Baron Corbin because he comes across like, I don't want to say a decent enough fella. It's kind of weird. But like, he just lives his life and he's got a job and he gets paid and that's fine. And I don't judge that particularly, but he's a proper audience of one wrestler at this point. He's a guy that Vince enjoys and who else is getting anything out of him or this version of his act or Madcap Moss or any of that sort of stuff. So it's not going to, I can't promise it'll be entertaining. I just think he's now going to be featured and then position himself as a Rumble favourite.
Yeah, I think that we might get some prop comedy tonight with this. I know it's normally wordplay, but I get the feeling that they're going to say, oh, some people have been complaining about what we did to Drew McIntyre post-match at day one. But as a make good, we've got him, you know, I don't know, a sword that doubles as a walking stick or whatever. But my main pitch is, they've got him a neck brace, but inexplicably the neck brace has a kilt wrapped around it as well.
Yeah, no, I like that. Or like one of those, you know, those like prop where it looks like there's like an arrow through your head or something like that you wear it.
Yes.
A combination of your two ideas and a neck brace with a sword through it. And
okay.
And then he pulls out and he goes, whoa! Like, how did I do that?
Finally, Hamflets, as I said, I've been out of the loop for a couple of weeks. So what is going on with Charlotte Flair and Toni Storm? Can't wait to see the next step in this rivalry.
Yeah, obviously they didn't have the match at day one. And we all thought the narrative was going to be, he's going to have the better match and put over the younger star. Is it going to be Becky Lynch with Liv Morgan? Or is it going to be Charlotte Flair with Toni Storm? Well, Charlotte Flair was so good at putting over Toni Storm that she put her all the way out of the company entirely, Wilborn. She's gone. She's gone forever. Toni Two Pies, no more. Why would you turn back? Why would you turn your back on getting pied in the face twice? Come on, Toni Storm. You were the market leader. I thought you wanted to be a pro wrestler. So why would you not wrestle for World Wrestling Entertainment? She's gone, mate. She's absolutely gone.
Fair play to her. I completely agree with her going, yeah, I'm out of this. If you're just going to have me. Did she get rolled up on the Christmas show, basically?
She's lost. Well, did she lose the first match to Charlotte? I can't even remember anymore. But yeah, she lost to Charlotte. Much like Liv lost to Becky, actually. The heat was sort of diffused by the original matches before whatever was going to happen at day one happened. I think she saw the writing on the wall as Pie slid down it too. I can't do anything but respect her. We cover a lot of the releases because there's a lot of releases, but I do wonder, other than the ones that tell you so on Twitter, how many wrestlers kind of greet the news both ways? They would maybe never say it. Why burn a bridge? Why alienate people? All that sort of thing. But you have to wonder, like, they can't just be Toni Storm. In the same way that plenty of wrestlers will be happy, I have no doubt that plenty will be happy within WWE, there'll be plenty that might feel quite dissatisfied with a lot. Mm-hmm. And you do wonder when all the releases drop, like how many thought, you know, I was kind of sitting on this and I should have jumped, but instead I've been pushed and I'm quite glad to be gone. Toni Storm has not waited for a cut. She's not sat around feeling nervous. She's like had some agency in her own life, and so she should, so they all should. So yeah, nothing but like best wishes and high hopes for her. And I imagine whatever she does will probably be received better than this short SmackDown run. And as for Charlotte Flair, I feel like we're running out of people who can make her feel like Charlotte Flair again.
Yeah.
It's not been, we're kind of like, we're in a position here where we're going to have the opposite conversation about Sami Zayn, about Charlotte Flair. 2021 was a really, really bad year. There was flashes of excellence. The Money in the Bank match against Rhea Ripley, a total joy, like an absolute ripper.
Oh yeah!
In the face of one of the worst storylines of the year as well, you know. So like, just incredible work. The Becky Lynch match was awesome in its own strange, idiosyncratic way. But what got us there, probably the single worst segment of the year in terms of the belt swap.
Mm.
Like, so Charlotte's best stuff is tainted by some of the very worst, and when she wasn't doing that, her angles were almost uniformly terrible. You know, Ric Flair and Lacey Evans, Lily, tearing Lily's head off. Like an awful year, like probably her worst year across main roster in NXT ever. So Toni Storm being gone, at the very least, gives her the cleanest of slates. I don't know how you muddy that up. I don't know if they've got any pies left. I know they've got plenty of goo. But like, there is a chance here with Charlotte Flair, SmackDown champion. She can say that she's in that way that she does, in that kind of drawling promo. Well, I ran off more of my competition, and almost opens the field back up, doesn't it? I would argue that you just go big. Yep. Royal Rumble season, you don't need a challenger that needs to particularly win the title, but Charlotte Flair desperately needs a good match. The Royal Rumble could do with something heated. Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, stop pissing around. Go big. Just give us a gift.
I know she, I was reading about this just earlier, she challenged Charlotte, I think a live show in Lafayette, possibly. Apologies if I've got that wrong. And I know she may have tweaked her ankle or got some sort of injury, Sasha, this is, in amongst that. But I'm not saying she has to get physical tonight. You literally just have to have her say, look, I've beaten everyone here on SmackDown. You know, I've chased people off, you know, to other shows or even out of WWE. I'm that good. Heat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then out comes Sasha Banks and you get one of quite possibly many. I mean, Royal Rumble at the moment shaping up to be a sensational show of the way we're booking it. One of many of those. Yeah, we know the title's probably not going to change. We know these certain people are going to be involved in these certain matches as we look ahead to WrestleMania. But nevertheless, My word, it'll be fun. It'll be a fun ride, you know, regardless of the title change.
Imagine if the Rumble, imagine if the Women's Royal Rumble was to open the pay-per-view ahead of Becky Lynch, like, easily defeating Liv Morgan again, or Doudrop, or it's probably going to be Doudrop, or whoever she ends up with as a kind of makeshift Royal Rumble opponent. So you've got Becky Lynch as kind of the banker Raw Women's Champion, and either Sasha or Charlotte as the SmackDown Women's Champion, and then Bayley wins the Rumble.
Oh,
it's like, which horsewoman do I want for WrestleMania?
Why have we done this to ourselves on the 7th of January already? But nevertheless,
there's a chance.
Let us know your thoughts ahead of SmackDown tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Got the AEW Rampage and Battle of the Belts preview to come later on today, as well as Wrestle Culture with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz. And we'll be back Monday to review all the shows as well. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.